glorify you. Glorify you. About tribulation in Romans was that it would add, said, let, when it came, tribulation, said it employs, the first thing it employs was patience. That was the force of consistency to just continue to go forward. But it did not look like there was a reason. He said, let patience. He said it employs patience, and patience then employs experience. Experience is not the experience from the trial or test. Experience is the experience that you receive from God. All of His promises, all of His hope. And experience gives way to hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we just lift you up, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're at the beginning where you're just having to begin to really employ patience, or if the patience has turned itself over to an experience. Because right in the middle of it, you can begin to have an experience, not from the test, but you can begin to have the experience. God is, He just keeps piling all of everything you need to keep going forward. And in that experience, somehow hope is developed. And out of hope, there comes a process of His love. And it does not make ashamed, meaning you won't come to the end of this and say, my goodness, it didn't work out. It does. It always does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Homer and Rosie, why don't you just stand right here? Come on, bring it. The rest of you just need some prayer partners. Somebody to come. Some of you ladies, some of you men. Jesus, right now. I glorify you. I glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Homer, past 20 years, you know, we don't earn anything. We just take it by grace. But 20 years of praying in tongues all brought you to this moment in time, prepared you for it. Absolutely prepared. He knew 20 years ago this day had come. So he started from the very beginning, praying against all of your infirmities, anything that could come. He knew the day would come. He knew it. But he also was praying a perfect prayer to get you past it and to give you hope right in the middle of all of anything the enemy could pour out. So you've been, this didn't come on you unaware. It didn't come on you unaware because the Holy Spirit's been praying for 20 years for this very purpose, for this very night. So He's there with you too, Rosie. You've been His partner, not only in the flesh, but in the spirit. So you've been praying these 20 years too. He's been preparing you for everything, all of the hope you would need, all of the experience that you would need, everything that you need to get past these days. So what you're going to do now is to rejoice, knowing this time is going to pass. You're going to get it all. Not just everything you need in the natural, but He cannot lie. God cannot lie. And if we know that, if we keep holding to it, it's just a matter of time. I don't know how long, but it's just a matter of time. So, Jesus. So go ahead and receive it right now. In the name of Jesus. There He is. Whew. Jesus. There He is. Receive it. Whatever needs to take place, these negotiations in the natural, Father, we turn them all over to You.
Yes, sir.
Give Him wisdom, even in that term, even in that definition. But it's not a condemning thing to Him. But Lord, You redefine it. Whatever You need to do, redefine it so it's defined according to Your mind. So I release that life. Yes, to Him in the name. Anybody else? Prayer? Or He does anything different? Jesus, Lord, we worship You. You are holy. Could you put that in? Hallelujah. Just magnify the Lord with us. Hallelujah. How many of you know that He is here? Yes. Praise God. Well, we're going to let you greet one another, but we're going to not saying much about it. In fact, I don't even know where they're at, but we'll put some offering baskets up here. Okay? And if you have something to bring tonight, God bless you. And if you don't, God bless you. Hallelujah. How about that? That's easy enough. You're blessed. But go ahead and prepare something if you do, and you've been intending on bringing it. But why don't you stand once again? We're going to get you in good shape. Amen. And go around and give somebody a hug. Tell them something good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we will have Friday night calling in the lost. And remember, this Sunday is what?
Mother's Day.
Wow, Mother's Day. So how do you spell wow upside down?
Mom.
Yeah, good. We're just listening and stepping out in faith here. How many of you know that a week from Sunday, will be what? Gary Carpenter and Sue. Now, let's pray. Now, Sue did not. Sue, there was some good reasons why she did not make the conference in Dayton. She felt like she needed to stay home and do some things and help out in some areas. But he did not know if she was going to be coming to Immokalee, but he did let me know before the conference in Dayton was over that Sue felt pretty confident that she's going to be here. So let's believe that she makes it as well. Amen. I don't know if Gary's going to be ministering on, and I think that's that he will be, on the fourth dimension. You have never heard anything like it. And we can't even begin to do it any justice, but we're going to talk just a little bit tonight, just maybe in preface, just a little bit in preface, in preparation. It'd be like kind of like skipping a stone across the water, just kind of warming you up to if he does talk about the fourth dimension. And that really begins by talking about the kingdom of God. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. So we'll begin to read some of this and then comment as we listen and hear. Thank you, Lord. Would you stretch your faith this way and pray for me? I'd appreciate it so much. Father, I thank you for these days. Ever a time where we're learning to trust you from moment to moment to moment, it is these days and these hours. I praise you because, Lord, it is through that simple trust that I believe that you break bread for us to them. Lord, I know that you love us. And I thank you because you're preparing a kingdom, or you've already prepared a kingdom, but that kingdom, Lord, you're asking us to deliver to this earth. And so, Lord, we're just asking you once again that in the name of Jesus, that you'll just speak to our hearts. Bring our hearts into that fullness by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, for 17 years, we've been speaking the word over this region, mainly speaking to Immokalee, calling Immokalee saved. And we've been believing for something that we call revival. And for us, the definition of revival is the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, dead raised, on and on and on, demoniac set free, maimed made whole, all those kinds of things that really nobody else is seeing and we haven't seen yet to the fullness. We've seen some of it. But all that is it's in a place, it's not in a place that he has to go and get it. It's in a place that already exists. And it already exists not in a positional truth like as just, okay, it's there in the heart of God. But it really, really exists in a realm that if we become more familiar with that realm. Recently, I can't go into anything about it, but because of a fight, the Lord said to me, here's your prescription. And at times I've not kept it as close. But this is what he said. He said, I want you to treat me. He said this. He said, seek me with all your heart. And then he said, treat me like I'm real. Treat me like I'm real. Now, you know what treating him like? Now, I know we all believe that he is. I know that we believe that he's our Father and we believe in this relationship with the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But he wants us to get into a place where the Holy Spirit is our very best friend on this planet. And one of the ways that you do that is not just in the communion, allowing him to allow that prayer language to flow through you. That's the beginning of it. But do you know if you begin to talk to him like he's right in the room with you? I love that illustration that Candy did Sunday. She did it from something she'd heard Alan talk about. Like, a lot of times we're looking up and we're trying to get God to come from a realm into our realm when we need to begin to really realize that that realm exists right here. And that if we begin to believe that that realm exists right here and that He's in that realm and that we're in that realm with Him, then there's something that happens to our faith. There's something that happens to our faith when you begin to talk to the Holy Spirit like He's a distinct personality, and that He's right next to you, and that He knows all of your thoughts, and He knows everything about you, and that your faith, you're just talking to Him like everything depends on Him. You create faith that way. Now Jesus, when He came on the scene, He went forth and He began to teach. But His teaching was a gospel. And we know what the word gospel means. It means good news. It means an announcement of something good. But the word tells us that He began to teach a particular gospel. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time forth, or that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, He began to preach and to say two things: repent, for the what? It says kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, same thing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning it's here right now. Now 4, verse 23, same chapter. And Jesus went, verse 23 and 24, Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What gospel did He teach? Did He just teach gospel? Did He just say, okay, here's some good news? But specifically, and you'll find it all throughout the gospels, it's a continual reiteration of this gospel is a gospel of a kingdom, which is a realm. It's a realm. I could say dimension, but maybe dimension's not the best word. It's a realm. And Jesus went forth into Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of what? Sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And His fame went throughout all Assyria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. Now, He's not only teaching a good news, like He could come forth and say, okay, here's the good news. God loves you. God wants you healed. But He's actually teaching the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, the kingdom which I'm from, the kingdom which I have come from, I'm telling you, it's here. And then He takes another step, and this is what the world or the church world has not yet seen, is that He takes it from telling them to showing them. Now, we've got to come to a place, and this is what we're after, to go from just, we want to go to show and tell, or reverse it. We want to go to a place where we're not just talking about it, but we're actually showing it. And all of what He just read there is He preached the kingdom. He preached like, I'm from a place, or I'm coming to you telling you about a realm that has not yet existed, but does exist. And then He actually shows them what that realm looks like by healing all of their sick. When we're coming to it, what we're coming to is a place where we're not only going to tell Immokalee that it's saved, we're going to show Immokalee that it's saved. That's what we're after, the demonstration of it. That's why we've been fought so hard, because we believe that that place exists. Now Matthew 6, continuing in, verse 8 through 13 says this: "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of." Now, these disciples, Well, let me start in verse 6. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy prayer closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret, seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition." How many of you know if there is a vain repetition, there is a proper repetition? The vain repetition is saying something without mindlessly, not believing it. Vain repetition. He says, use not vain repetition. But he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before we ask him. After this manner. Now here's the manner, even in his prayer, even in the what we call the disciples' prayer, which is the Lord's prayer. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom what? He's desiring a kingdom to come. He's desiring this kingdom to come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So the only point there is this, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Is that the very first prayer that Jesus, or the prayer that he began to say is, look, standing here on this earth, to my church, I'm asking you to petition me, or I'm asking you to petition. This is what you're asking the Father. Lord, let that kingdom come into full measure. Let it be established. Whatever is in that realm, whatever is going on in that realm, let it come into this realm. How many of you know that that realm created this realm? That realm is more real than this realm. In that sense, this realm is real, but that realm created this realm. In here, if we could see them with our eyes, I'm sure that there's angels here. We can't see them, but they're here. We can feel the presence of the Lord. We can feel the presence of God. But nevertheless, there is a realm unseen. But where we're headed and what we keep asking God for, not with vain repetition, but in faith, is, Lord, let that realm, which has created our realm, begin to invade this realm so strong that everything that Jesus did, we can do also. Amen. So that it becomes natural. It becomes so natural to us, like we don't think about breathing. We don't think about blinking our eyes. Those are what they call involuntary actions. In other words, there is something that the body just does without thought. Jesus carried out the same kind of ministry. He so believed that he belonged to the kingdom realm is that he did not try to muster up or pull up something inside of him when he began to get ready to do a miracle. He just knew that in that realm, those miracles existed, and all he had to do was just live in that realm. He just had to just say, okay, this is what happens in that realm. I come from that realm. And this is where he's wanting us to get to. He's wanting us to get to a place where we believe that we are part of not the kingdom of this world, but we're the kingdom of God. So that we're not straining in our faith, saying, Lord, can this miracle happen? It's just an absolute, this miracle happened for Jesus, it'll happen for us also. Hallelujah. So what we're saying is the kingdom of God is coming. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16, 13. And when Jesus come into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah the prophet, and or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And guess who the big mouth was always? Peter. And Peter answered and said, but this time he got it right. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We'll read 19 in just a moment. When he says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, he was not talking about what some religions call the rock of the church, which is Peter. No, Peter's not the rock of the church. What he's saying there is this: Peter, you got the revelation of who I am, the revelation of Christ. And the revelation of Christ is the rock of the church. When you receive this revelation, that's what I'll build my church upon. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so he pronounces this to Peter, and he says, And I will give unto thee the keys of the what? As a result of our trusting in Christ and receiving the revelation of who he is, then as a result of that, something comes about. We get the keys to the kingdom. And what do these kingdom keys do? Well, these kingdom keys begin to unlock mysteries for us, but they begin to unlock power. For it says here, you know, there's one place where it talks about whatsoever you bind on earth, bound in heaven, loose on earth. And another place, it's talking about binding yourself together with other members of the body of Christ to save a brother that's offended. Now, that's in context with where that's what that's talking about in another speaking place or another place that Jesus talks and talks about binding and loosing. Here, he doesn't make that distinction about relationship. He just says, I give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loosed on earth or loose on earth shall be bound in heaven. And he says, so that's it. And again I say unto thee, the keys, and I will give unto thee, excuse me, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I've not gone into the Greek on this specifically, but I have heard that if you go into it in depth, that it says this: whatsoever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. In other words, and we do know this, even in the context of Scripture there, that it's saying there that you get the agreement of heaven. Whatever you stand on this earth and bind, in other words, whatever you stand, the word bind there means to bring just that, just to bring something under dominion. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the keys to the kingdom. This is the reality that we live in. I remember a number of years ago when we first got over to Immokalee that this particular verse began to, these particular sayings of Christ began to stand out to me. And I know my oldest daughter was going through something incredible at the time, something that had come and tried to attach itself to her body. And the doctor said it was incurable. And we had taken her to a different specialist. And we had just entered into the ministry, and I had just been able to complete one of my longer fasts. And right at the end, amazing enough, right at the end of one of the longer fasts, this thing come. It came on our family. And we knew it was the devil, but we didn't know exactly what to you know, how to handle it all. We knew we were going to fight. And then we took her to a specialist, and the doctor said, now this is something she's going to have, and it sounded like she was going to have the rest of your life. Well, I can tell you the end result, she is healed completely. Praise God. Totally, totally, 100% healed. But I remember one of the things that, and I'm not saying I was the only, my wife was involved in the prayers of this, and so I'm sure that her prayers had so much to do with it. But I remember those formidable days when I was walking, remember the ugly green carpet that we had here. I don't know how many of you remember that. It was so ugly that you had to close your eyes. And it just went down the center, and then there was linoleum on the inside of the. There was no carpet all over. But I remember getting a hold of this, that whatsoever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. In other words, there's a realm there that if you can begin to bring that realm into this realm, it always works. That realm has dominion over this realm. And if you begin to believe that there's a kingdom that can control, absolutely bring under absolute dominion anything that you face in this life. And I remember walking this, and it was sometimes hours, it seemed like, day after day. And I would begin to speak this word of truth over her body. And at some point in that, I remember reaching a point there. I don't know when it was, but I remember reaching a point where that place of, for me, that place of believing came not only from an invisible realm, it came into a physical realm. I just knew that. How many of you ever come to a place where you just know that you know that you know? It's done. It's really done. From that point on, you can just begin to give thanksgiving, because you actually begin to know as a result of what has taken place. I remember Candy gives her testimony. She talks about how that years ago, when she was having such back problems and she was going through so much, and at that time, you know, we're here pastoring. That's just another one of those tests that we went through, like all of you. But she was going through that, and we went through several doctors, and the doctors, the last one we've seen, said that she had some kind of spur there on her back, and that there was just no way for it to dissolve itself. It was just there. The only way would be to go into an operation. And we just, well, we weren't settling for that, because it was she'd already had one operation years earlier. We weren't settling for having to go into another deep operation. But she got the revelation of this. Same thing. I should probably have her do the testimony, but I'm just reiterating what she said so many different times, that she began to see that there was a place inside of her, which was a spiritual place, that if she could allow it to take place, that it could begin to saturate her body. In other words, that kingdom of that other place, if you allow it, if you begin to, how was he saying it to you, honey? Ooze. Why don't you share that just for a second? It's on. She said it's on the website. I know, but some of them haven't. You know what? That really, it really begins with somebody else in here, doesn't it? So she knows. She knows it far better than me.
Precious friend Delia, when she was in the hospital with Guillain-Barré. Yeah, that devil. Well, when she was in the hospital with that, and we'd go up and pray for her, I was like, God, you know, I seen Reuben standing so strong for her. And I was so thankful for him and how he expressed his love for his wife. And when I'd go in there and pray for her, I mean, my heart would just break, because I'm thinking, God, her children at home, her boys need her, you know, this and that. But as I continued to stand there and look at her, it was like an x-ray, kind of like Dave Roberson says, he's seen a lady standing there with an x-ray or something that looked like he could see her bones. Well, I couldn't see inside of her, but in the spirit, I could just see or understand that her spirit was whole. Her spirit didn't have Guillain-Barré. Her spiritual blood, you know, her spirit, whatever makes it life, had no sickness in it. And all I could think to pray was, God, I'm just going to pray for her spirit to just ooze out into her natural body. So I know it's there, and Lord, just let it ooze, you know, let it flood her body. That's how I prayed for her. And And through that whole thing, I'm suffering with a terrible backache and arthritis, too, was in there, and all that crazy stuff. So I come home, and she's healed, and trying to walk a little bit, trying to get a little bit of exercise, and I was out walking around the block, and it dawned on me, Candy, you could pray that same way for yourself. And so I'm like, duh. So I began to pray that way for myself as I'm walking around the block, and I'm saying, God, I just receive that healing that is in the spirit, that's in my born-again nature. I receive the same health that resides in there. I receive it in my natural body. I thank you, God, that my back is just as whole as my spirit is in every area. And another thing that I was praying for is the Lord had showed me that I had had a mole on my arm, and I was taking a bath, and I would notice that, and I'd say, God, I hate that. So I just began to rebuke it, and it was like he whispered to me, how do you know what else is inside of you that the devil's trying to do that you can't see? So I still pray that for my body, that whatever the plans of the enemy are, that they will not take place, that I'm healed and that I'm just as healthy as my spirit and I'm whole. Just that.
Hallelujah. So our confession now is ooze. I say that the kingdom within oozes over on all things in the natural. Hallelujah. Don't you just stand up and lift your hands? We glorify you, Jesus. Praise and magnify you, Jesus. I glorify you. Worship you, Lord. How many are ready to go to that other place? There is another place. So just keep those hands up. We're going to bring it to pass. And he's going to bring it to pass in us, not ourselves. You heard of Candy was editing Homer's message from last Sunday, Sunday before. Powerful walk, place of grace that he's walking in. Powerful place. We both. She mentioned it first, but I said yes. Just a grace to keep going forward. So he's walking in that. We want to submit ourselves, right? Would you agree with us and pray for us? Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. If I would, for just about 30 seconds. Not going into detail, that, you know, something just come up on me right now, too, inside of my heart. And there's been some things said, not bad in here, just recently regarding situations. And last night, for about 5 minutes, I took a care. For about 5 minutes, really. Lay down on my bed, shed a couple of tears, and I got up and started laughing. I ate dinner, started laughing. And I couldn't understand it because I should have been, in the natural, I should have been very upset and very worried. And then I kept wondering, when is that worry going to come? When am I going to be saturated in emotions and tears because of what's going on? But it never came. It never came. And it never came. And then I thought to myself, you can't read the Bible. How can I say this? You can't read certain parts of the Bible continually over and over again and pray in the Spirit and confess God's word and worship God for his word and there not be a change in your life. And I figured it out after all this time. I'm not taking a care. And I was brainstorming within myself, it's time to take the care, Homer. Where's the care at? I mean, but I did for 5 minutes because you thought about certain things that I can't get into detail. Then you... I'm not taking the care, Pastor Brock. Honey, I'm not mad. I'm eating. Homer, you should be taking the care. Then I realized that the grace of God is so powerful. Yes. His empowerment and his soul, it's second to none. Yes. We are sons and daughters of the kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the kingdom. We know no retreat. Because there's no retreat in God's word. There's one thing that I seek more than anything in my life right now. That's to know Jesus Christ, my Redeemer, in a personal, personal, intimate, intimate manner. And I can honestly say to you before Almighty God, that that place is burning in me more than ever. Like it ever has been in my life, not even remotely close. It's just, there's a hunger in me to know this man named Jesus Christ. And that grace has been on me, and it's still on me. And I just, we know no retreat. Thank you, Jesus. We don't know what retreat means. Yes. It's not in our vocabulary. Amen. So, Father,
amen.
All that you are, oh God, all that you are, oh God, all that you are, your might, your strength, we know no fear, Father, because of who you are. Because we have a revelation of who you are, Lord. You are our strength. You are my fortress. You are my soft answer, Lord. More than that, Father, I have your DNA inside of me that makes me presently, currently, right now, more than a conqueror, Father. So we know, Father, we know the family of the family prayers, and we know no surrender. We know no retreat. We go forward, Father, with the boldness of the Holy Spirit and the power of the rebirth, Father. And our candle, it burns brighter and brighter and brighter. We don't know what it's like to retire because we've preached for too long. We don't know what it is. We don't know what burnout is, Father. There's no burnout in the Spirit, oh God. There's no burnout in the Spirit. There's only levels of grace and glory, Father. And we won't stop, Father. We will not stop. Till we attain all that has been given to us by the blood of this one man named Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father. And what you've been given to me, the grace been, that I felt in my heart, the hunger for you, Father, I release it to my two pastors, Father. Release it unto them, Father, as they endeavor to find you and to know you and to die to themselves daily, Father, so that you, Christ Jesus, may be seen in them, Father. Whatever's working in me, Father, whatever's working in me, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, the grace, that empowerment, Father, that's been working in me, Lord, I release it unto my pastors, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, a hunger, a thirst that cannot be quenched, Father, that it cannot be quenched. In fact, Father, it intensifies every minute, every hour of every single day, Father. The desire to know you in an intimate, intimate, intimate manner, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, Father, and we give you praise, glory, and honor. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we receive that. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You don't have to go. When you decide to go, you can give somebody a hug. Hallelujah. We love you, and you are formally dismissed. Hallelujah.